All right. Well, thanks everyone for joining today. My name is Jeff Swainson. I'm the President and CEO of Simply Solventless. First, I'd like to thank Planet MicroCap, Small Cap Discoveries for a great conference and opportunity to speak today. Pretty excited to be here. It's been a very busy year for us, and we have a lot to discuss. I'll try to keep it fairly high level and move along and fit it in the 30 minutes. Like any good conference, they asked us to put our disclaimers at the front, and I decided to make it a focus of our presentation. I talked to our corporate counsel, and I said, make them huge. And so here's the first disclaimers. I'm sure you've all read that already. Some non-GAAP measures. More cautionary notes. Even more cautionary notes. Our lawyer is Gord Cameron with Steichman, if you want to someone that's going to do huge disclaimers for you. And then some future-oriented financial figures. But what I was thinking when I wanted to focus on disclaimers wasn't those disclaimers. It wasn't quantity. It was quality. Here's my huge disclaimer. SSC is a cannabis company. If that's not a disclaimer, I don't know what it is, because we all know what's happened in the industry over the last 5 years. Of course, another disclaimer I felt was important. Cannabis companies have lost billions. But hear us out. Cannabis companies can be profitable. And that's what I'm going to take you through today. How can we be profitable in such a challenging industry with significant regulatory burden, significant excise taxes? So our mission is to provide exceptional and personalized cannabis journeys to discerning cannabis consumers. Our vision, it's ambitious, is to be the most profitable cannabis company in Canada through the customer connection and prudent capital stewardship. And here's an overview of where we are and kind of what we've done over the last year. Our strategy is fundamentally focused on branded organic revenue growth and opportunistic acquisitions. So in terms of our organic revenue growth, we launched our Astrolab brand in 2023 in May, and we launched Fruity Hootie in November 2023. In terms of acquisitions, we made our first acquisition of Lamplighter in January 2024. We just closed our CanMart acquisition in September 2024. And then, of course, today we had some news this morning, which I'll get into a little bit later. Overall, we've had 8 straight quarters of net income profit. We have 0 long-term debt. In terms of revenue growth, we've gone from $7 million in 2023 to projected annualized exit of $55 million at the end of this year. And we project a 2024 exit net income run rate of $10 million per year. And so it all started with our brands, Astrolab and Fruity Hootie. And of course, as I said, we've made some acquisitions, the Lamplighter brand. So Astrolab, first of all, is solventless concentrates. It's what we started the company on, as our ethos is solventless. So no hydrocarbon, no volatile chemicals, just pure potent terpene-rich product. Solventless is a fairly small product category, though, and since then we've expanded quite a bit into other categories, including Fruity Hootie, which is live rosin amplified distillate products, Lamplighter, which is ultra-high potency distillate, and then Zest and Royalty. So those two brands, Zest and Royalty, came with the CanMart acquisition. Royalty is a leader in hydrocarbon concentrates, including shatter, live resin, and vapes. And so we're continually trying to expand our consumer base and you know, get the attention of consumers, because we have some phenomenal products. And in terms of how this relates to revenue, this is a chart showing the number of product listings over time and by brand. So first of all, the brown brand at the bottom, Astrolab, that was our first brand. You can see it's had some nice growth over the last year and a half. Fruity Hooty, we layered on in November. Lamplighter, as I said, we acquired in January 2024. And then we just closed in September Canmart, which brought the Royalty, Zest, and Relax brands. So by the end of the year, we anticipate we'll have approximately 140 provincial SKUs, which is significantly more than, of course, the beginning of 2024 and when we started in May 2023. Of course, this isn't directly correlated with revenue, but there is a strong correlation between the number of listings that you have and revenue. News alert. So I'm not sure how many of you've heard this morning, but we just announced this morning that SSC is acquiring ANC Inc. But disclaimer, we need to make sure everyone feels safe. It's not an actual alert, it's just news. And so who is ANC? ANC is a contract manufacturer of pre-rolls. We view them as the leading contract manufacturer of pre-rolls in the country. They have a long-standing reputation of quality, of customer service. They're run by a group of professionals that are incredibly talented, very good operators. Their ethos really aligns with ours in that they had to grind, they had to survive, they had to figure out how to be profitable early days. We started this company in 2020. We had zero access to capital. We're putting payroll on our credit cards. We're doing everything we can to survive and to build value. And they had that same ethos. They had that same situation. It wasn't easy for them. And so we're aligned in that regard. It's a great fit. They're a great group of people, and we have a lot of faith in their ability to continue to ramp that business. They have pre-roll capability of about 5 million per month. They're currently at about 1.2 pre-rolls per month, million pre-rolls per month. So in terms of the deal itself, the consideration is based on two primary channels, cash and equity. The cash consideration is $0 at close, and then there's a series of payments over the next year, culminating in a total of $7 to $8.75 million, including an earnout. In terms of shares, there's 3 million of equity at closing at 50 cents per share. It's actually units, 50 cents per unit. So they got 6 million shares and 3 million warrants exercisable at 75 cents for 2 years. In terms of the earnout, it's 0 to 1.75 million cash and 0 to 1.75 million in shares, also at 75 cents per share. So in total, the earnout is $3.5 million, and it's based on EBITDA milestones. All told, the total consideration is between $10 and $13.5 million, depending on the earnout. SSC receives $2 million of working capital, so the net consideration is between $8 and $11.5 million. And in this environment, that's sizable consideration when you're acquiring a cannabis company. Significantly more than the other acquisitions that we've made, but it's for a reason. ANC has approximately $15 million of revenue right now as a contract manufacturer. That's zero excise revenue, which, of course, is significant in this space. They're on a run rate of approximately $3.6 million annualized net income per year. And so the multiples work out to 0.8 to 3.2 times EBITDA. So 0.8 times revenue, 3.2 times EBITDA. And in terms of synergies, as I noted, their management team is just an exceptional group, and we expect them to do huge things with Simply Solventless going forward. It's a strong platform on a pro forma basis to continue to pursue opportunistic acquisitions and to leverage our what we feel to be a unique positioning within the cannabis space. We may have potentially the highest pro forma net income in the Canadian cannabis space after this deal when we exit this year at $10 million annualized per year estimated. With us With Simply Solventless being a manufacturer of various products, including solventless and soon to be hydrocarbon and a lot of formulation capability, one of the primary synergies is that it's really going to increase the velocity of our inventory turnover and allow us to monetize inventory and really have volume. Another key synergy is Simply Solventless currently outsources all of our pre-roll manufacturing. So of course that will now be done by ANC. And you know, we have five brands that have pre-roll capability. So this is a material synergy here, bringing this in-house. ANC just received a patent on certain infused pre-rolling technology 2 weeks ago. While there's a patent earnout again of 0.25 times EBITDA on the forward 36 months EBITDA only related to patent generated revenue and expenses. And so the focus will be on integration and making sure that ANC is continuing to execute on its current business. But we do see that patent as upside, and it demonstrates the value of the intellectual property that ANC has generated. And so in terms of how this works out in the end for us, in terms of results, this is SSC plus ANC annualized pro forma. As I noted, we believe we'll be among the most profitable licensed producers in Canada post-acquisition, which is expected to close October 3rd. We had $7 million revenue in 2023. As you can see, we expect to exit this year at $55 annualized. That's a 686% increase in revenue over the last year. We expect to exit at $10.5 million annualized EBITDA at exit 2024. And then it's per share is what really matters, of course. We used to report these figures at the bottom right here in basic basis, not fully diluted, but on a fully diluted basis, post-acquisition, we expect approximately 9 cents per share annualized net income, up from 2 cents in 2023. And in 2023, we thought 2 cents was a big deal in this industry. And so, of course, that's approximately 350% increase in normalized net income. Oh, here we go. Potentially the most profitable or among the most profitable does not mean guaranteed most profitable. So let's do our own due diligence. But do you know of any cannabis companies that are more profitable? If you do, I'd like to know. I really would, because I'd like to talk to them and see if there's any synergies with them. And so overall, with the acquisitions we've done, it's important to have a look at overall metrics. What did we acquire? How much did it cost? And so all told, it's about $13.5 million of total consideration. Most of it is deferred. And of that $13.5 million, it's about $6.75 million cash deferred, $5.25 million in equity, and $1.5 million of vendor take-back mortgage. For that $13.5 million, we project that we've acquired $39 million of revenue, $7.6 million of annualized adjusted EBITDA, and that works out to 0.35 times revenue and 1.8 times adjusted EBITDA on these acquisitions. Disclaimer: SSE may not execute more acquisitions, but we possibly could. And then in terms of comps, so this is a peer group of cannabis companies that were profitable or close to profitability. This peer group is an average of -4% net income percentage. As you can see, we're at 18% net income. And that's pro forma, fully diluted. And then in terms of adjusted EBITDA multiples on the bottom, the average of this peer group is 9 times adjusted EBITDA. And pro forma, we're at 4.3. So we do see a valuation gap there compared to our peers, especially given our profitability. Here's our cap table. So 76 million shares outstanding, 113 million fully diluted. Per the press release that we issued this morning, we accelerated the exercise of 15 million of the 20 cent warrants, the first set of warrants down from the common shares. That should bring proceeds of approximately 3 million if they're all exercised. They're heavily in the money. We're trading, last I saw, over 50 cents. And estimated working capital pro forma is 9 million. We're continually improving our balance sheet, paying payables down, trying to have a really nice platform for growth, whether it be organically or through continued acquisition. In terms of insider ownership, we're approximately 22% insider owned. We've participated as a management team in every single financing. It's very important to us to be aligned with shareholders, and our focus is to create shareholder value. And we have zero long-term debt. We do have the vendor take-back mortgage payable to Lifus, which was a result of the Canmart acquisition. But we expect that'll be all paid off within the next 12 months. In terms of our team, so there's me. I'm a chartered accountant by trade, an entrepreneur at heart, and I love building companies and working with great people. Jeff Hall, longtime CFO, chartered accountant with extensive manufacturing experience. Jeff Lawrence is an incredible chief commercial officer, amazing relationships with key retail accounts across the country. He's done a fantastic job of getting us listings and securing key accounts and driving our organic branded revenue growth and in the due diligence on our acquisitions. And Murray Brown, longtime engineer, vice president operations, just an incredible professional, talented, organized, hardworking, incredible due diligence. And our board of directors. So Bill McDonald is our co-founder. He's a oil and gas landman that's done hundreds of deals and you know a lot of private equity and probably sat on about 20 public company boards. Steve Bjornsson, he was a founder of Vermilion Energy, longtime CFO. He's a chartered accountant by trade. And then Olin Vanderleeden, he's a longtime business development commercial professional. Started out with Zenabis in the cannabis industry, over 5 years of cannabis industry experience. Went to Greentone after Zenabis, and amazing professional and well connected, great leader within our group. And so again, here's the summary. It's simple, I guess. You know, we're not trying to overcomplicate things. We're trying to run a solid business based on fundamentals with a focus on profitability and sustainability. And you know, we've achieved some solid results to date. I think you know the acquisitions are a bit of a testament to the faith that counterparties have in our ability to execute and to actually pay deferred consideration to them. And we're going to look to continue that trend and to build a special business here. In summary, again, 8 straight quarters of net income profit, 0 long-term debt, significant revenue growth of approximately 668% from 2023 to projected exit this year on an annualized basis, and then fully diluted net income per share. This is what we're really all about is net income. What can a cannabis company with net income do? What opportunities will it be able to capitalize on? What capital will it be able to access? And I think we're seeing that, you know, net income really is the missing key in the industry right now. We need to perform as a group, and we need to deliver value. And And that's what we'll continue to aim to do. And once again, thanks for having me today. I'm always available for questions for to discuss, and I'll leave it there. Well, there's one more disclaimer, actually. Sorry. Results may exceed expectations. Thank you.
Yeah, hey Jeff, thanks for the presentation. I just have a quick question. I know you mentioned that you're not planning on doing any more acquisition, but you might. What if you were to acquire another company, what would you be looking for?
And so everyone expects us to acquire distressed assets, but obviously ANC is a different type of an acquisition. And so when we say opportunistic acquisitions, that's exactly what we mean. We believe that there will be significant opportunity in distressed assets. A lot of leading brands are suffering right now, and there's uncertainty about their future. And so whether we're able to transact with distressed assets, you know, we'll explore those opportunities. But really what we're trying to do is build net income. We're trying to build that base of profitability and then use that as a launch pad for future growth. And so whether it be distressed or going concern businesses like ANC, we're going to turn over all those rocks and make sure that we're understanding what's available so that we can build that base and then ultimately execute our business plan. And so, you know, for us in terms of growth, we've grown a lot in terms of the cannabis 2.0 space and obviously the extracted products, vapes, infused pre-rolls. Flower is still 35% of the market. And so there's a lot of distressed cultivation assets. We don't have any definitive plans to vertically integrate upstream, but we are seeing a tightening of the supply and demand dynamic in Canada in terms of flower. And so at some point I do expect to see consolidation in the industry, and for us it would be, you know, probably prudent to vertically integrate at some point, but when is the question?
Coming your way.
Cannabis is regulated provincially as well as federally. Which provinces do you see the most opportunities?
So for us, we're not even in BC. So our biggest market is Alberta. Our second biggest market is Ontario. And then we're just getting into Saskatchewan and Manitoba. So we see huge upside in BC. BC is very hard to get into. They're very protectionist for their licensed producers, which is great. You know, they do favor BC producers. So I see upside in us getting into the BC market. And Quebec. Quebec is a very large market. They have a 30% THC cap, so it's a little bit different for concentrates, but they do have a big hash market. And when we acquired Canmart, they are in Quebec. And so we're now trying to leverage that to get our other brands into Quebec.
Just a quick question on the projected Q4. Is your fiscal year end December 31st?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Just trying to understand and get my mind wrapped around this new acquisition. From my rough estimates, pro forma will look like 9 cents with Canmart if you can expand it out and get them back up to 22 million, which, you know, I expect that you'll likely be successful. So if you're at nine, then what does this add and what can we expect there?
That's a great question. And so, I alluded before to the fact that, so we used to present our per share numbers basic, not fully diluted. And so it used to be, I believe we're projecting something like 4 cents, then seven, then nine or 10 by the end of the year. And so now those are fully diluted projections. So those account now all the warrants. So one of the discussions we often have with investors is the warrant overhang that we had. We have about 33 million warrants outstanding. You know, when are they coming in, if at all, what's going to happen? And so it put a bit of pressure on our company, I believe. And so we're reporting these things fully diluted now. And one of the reasons is because, as you saw in the news release this morning, we accelerated the exercise of 15 million of those warrants. And so we expect to have warrant exercises into the future, and that we'll clean up our capital structure and have a lot less dilutive instruments outstanding. which then it makes a lot more sense to report things on a fully diluted basis. So now, whereas we were projecting around 9 cents basic before, now we're projecting 9 cents per share fully diluted. And so that's where the accretion of the ANC deal comes in.
Just a quick question. I'm curious about how consumer brand loyalty works in the cannabis industry. Are you more like a generation ago where you were a Molson Canadian drinker for life? Or are you a microbrew kind of person nowadays where you just want to try them all and there's so many microbrews popping up? What does consumer brand loyalty look like in cannabis?
I believe brand loyalty in cannabis is low. The two main factors in purchasing decisions, unfortunately, are price and potency. And so really, consumers have been channeled into this equation because they need a quantifiable metric to rely on, but also because of the beginning of the cannabis industry, the focus on funded capacity, where cultivators just out of, you know, in 2018 when legalization happened, they were rewarded to build ever larger and larger greenhouses, ever larger cultivation assets. And so that's what resulted in the supply-demand imbalance that existed up until very recently, where there was a lot of very low-quality flower available. And so this flower needed to be monetized. So it went into huge ethanol extraction. It went into distillate. It went into high-potency, low-cost products. So that's been the narrative in cannabis to date. And as a result, I believe brand loyalty is low. And, you know, obviously you also have, you know, retail has a lot of control in the cannabis industry. You know, getting onto the shelves is challenging, especially when they're, you know, they already have established brands on those shelves. And so, but with the way that retail works in Canada, you know, it's hard to develop loyalty with brands or with consumers through your brands. It's a different game than that. Do I believe that quality should prevail and it will prevail? Ultimately, I do believe that. And that's why we started Simply Solventless, because solventless is to a lot of people the holy grail of cannabis. It's pure, it's potent, it's terpene rich. The natural essence of the garden is translated into the product. But that's not where we are today in the cannabis industry. And so brand loyalty, in my opinion, is fairly low. I think over time, as consumers are educated, it could change and it could shift into more of a craft beer scenario where quality, you know, is much more important. But we're going to continue to provide great quality products with a great value to consumers and a wide array of products where we can meet the needs of consumers. We can meet the consumer where they want to go. We don't need to force them into a product. We'll meet them where they are, and we'll provide the experience to them that they want.
Thank you guys for your questions. We're going to end that here. Thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you.